Monday, February 12, 2018, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 3 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Commissioner meeting at 3:02.
It looks like someone lost with it.
It looks like it's not moving.
I like the new sign. That's really nice.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't like the floor.
It's called National Wall. She's not paying any attention.
Only in part. But you can feel it.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to call to order the Dakota County Board of Equalization for February 12th. It is 3 p.m. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Joan, can you call roll?
Kevin?
Here.
Marty?
Here.
Bill is absent. Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Anybody going to excuse Bill?
I will make a motion to excuse Bill.
Okay. Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. The current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We'll start with the consent agenda with the approval of the previous minutes for January 29th, 2018. Give a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay, on to new business. We will have public hearing for the purpose of hearing oral and or written testimony from Wat Budram of Siouxland Incorporated, 500 142nd Street in South Sioux City, seeking a tax exemption for the tax year of 2018. We have anybody here to offer any other testimony besides the exemption application? Nobody. Was Jeff going to come speak on this?
I think Jeff's form.
His written recommendation. Yeah. Submitted.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has an approval. That's the way I look at it. Qualifies under religion approval. Jeff Curry, 110 of 18 is when he signed it. So
they were here last fall. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We denied it. And
that was on a filing.
Yeah,
error.
They were. Yeah.
It wasn't on their.
Correct.
Weren't by the property.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess basically the only thing we need is...
We have to close the hearing.
Oh, okay.
I would call one more time and then close the hearing.
Okay. Is there anybody for the public wanting to offer oral or written testimony for the tax exemption? There's no one from the public, so I think we can move on to B.
Close the hearing?
Close the hearing. Okay. So we'll move on to B then, to approve or deny the tax exempt status for 2018. I think with Jeff's recommendation, of approving it, I will make the motion to approve their tax exempt status for 2018.
I'd second it.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to any mail and or emergency business. And there is none. Is there any public comment for the Board of Equalization? No public comment. We will adjourn at 3:04. 305?
305, whatever. Okay, well,
someone needs to fix that.
We're going to move into the Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting. 305. A current copy of the open meeting act is on the wall back there. West wall of interest. The county boardroom is available for review of all attendance. Anybody that cares to look at it, will you call roll, Joan, for the Board of Commissioner meeting?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Bill is absent.
So okay. Excuse Bill from today's meeting.
Okay, I got a motion by Tony. Excuse Bill.
Second.
Second by Kevin. Can you call roll, please?
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, we're going to move into consent agenda items. Number one, the approval of the previous minutes of January 29th of 18, approval of the payroll claims, and the approval of any accounts payable, which I went through everything. Everything's in order. You all got your minutes. Any questions, concerns? Otherwise, you just need a motion to approve the consent agenda items.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, you get a motion by Kevin?
Second.
Second by Tony. Will you call roll on the consent agenda, Joan, please?
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony.
Okay, new business. Yes. 306. Okay, but anyways, we've got a public hearing for the purpose of the highway superintendent present the 1 and 6 year road plan to the board for the purpose of giving citizens the opportunity to support opposition and make neutral comments regarding the plan. So, with that said, the hearing, the public hearing is open. Fred Kellogg?
Yeah, well, 1 and 6 is state recommended. First year, 2018, there's two things on the first year, replace old drainage system on Hall Avenue. It's a bridge less than 20 feet. Going to put in corrugated pipe and straighten the creek. The other is grade and gravel Perry Avenue, approximately half a mile. On the 2 year, asphalt overlay on Lake Avenue, south of Old Highway 20, overlay on Tompkins Drive, south of Old Sawmill Road, reconstruct K Avenue on Fiddler Creek north of 1.5 miles north of 225th. Number 6 is replace old drainage system with corrugated pipe on Hall Avenue. That might be moved up to the first year when we do the other. Number 7, cost share project with the NRD, that's been on there for a while. They have not told me to take it off, but it doesn't look like that is going to go. That is on 215th Street regarding silt dam for the Perry Creek project. Pave M Avenue south of Highway 35. Number 9 is paved South Bluff, south of Highway 35, 1,300 feet. Paved South Bluff north of Homer City Limits, quarter mile. Third year, replace the bridge, East Sarpy. Overlay on Fiddler Creek Road, city limits to existing pavement. Approximately a little over half a mile. This is just a guideline. Anything can be added depending on funding, moved up or added to this 1 and 6.
Okay. Do we have any questions for Fred, the board, before we open it up for the, I mean, it's already open, but before we go through support, opposition, and neutral comments, anybody have any questions for Fred? Okay. Okay, thanks, Fred. I'm sure that you'll have some questions here. Okay, so at this time, with the 1 and 6 here that Fred just presented, do we have anybody with support from the public? Anybody with support? Okay. Anybody opposition? If you come to the podium, state your name and address for the record, please, Lou.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
I'm Lou Franco, and I am at 619 Old Highway 20 West. And I am speaking in opposing of the 1 to 6 years because of some of my opinions on what's happened in the past. And I'll just read those, and then if anyone would like copies or whatever, I mean, I don't know if there should be any questions, but whatever. Okay. I'm speaking in opposition of the 1 and 6 year road plan 2008 for the reasons stated, which are my opinion. In the fall of 2001, Dakota County constructed a road on private property of Martin Airfield, which was illegal on two counts. First of all, the city of South Sioux City had jurisdiction of Martin Field, not the county. Second of all, it was illegal to construct a county road on private property. In 2002, Gene Martin deeded me a perpetual easement for ingress and egress, which was surveyed 50 feet by 788 feet, paid by me and Mr. Martin.
Hey, Lou, excuse me.
Yes.
If we understand you're going back to 2001.
No, I'm leading up to 2014. These are just some steps so you kind of understand, and I have documentation showing that.
But you got to realize that what we're talking about today is the 1 and 6 from 18 to 2020.
I know, but this is why I'm opposing it, because of these reasons.
Okay. You have a problem with that, Kim?
No, I mean, as long as it's in line with what's here,
okay,
listed on the 1 and 6, or something that needs to be added or removed.
Well, it's I'm opposing it.
So you want
to, and these are the
everything?
Reasons why I'm opposing it.
Okay.
A project.
All right. In 2014, Dakota County and Gene Martin. Dakota County and Gene Martin decided to breach contract between me and Mr. Martin, in which Dakota County created Resolution 14C015, dated June 23, 2014, and attached are those documents. Resolution 14C015 states, whereas in 2002, Dakota County built the county road, now as Franco Drive, and legally described as, stating the legal description as the June 5th, 2014, in which created a fraudulent document. I am surprised and disappointed that Dakota County would play a part in to jeopardize Mr. Martin's obligations to the state of Nebraska for state grant funds in violations of the FAA rules and regulations. Mr. Martin and the Department of Aeronautics endorsed a state grant agreement in 1999 to comply with the FAA rules and regulations and Nebraska statute. Anything other than that agreement by the above parties was a violation to the contract. Dakota County has proved that they cannot be trusted with taxpayers' money for the maintenance, repairs, and construction of roads in Dakota County. This is one of the reasons I am opposing the 1 and 6 year plan. Now, and then I want to know who paid for that survey on 615. You don't have to tell me right now, but I do want to know that. And this, as far as I know, was never in the 1 to 6.
Okay.
Got one more. This is just a history of why I'm opposing the 1 and 6 year plan.
Well, you ain't opposing anything in particular. You just think, I'm speculating here, that our 1 and 6 obviously we know that can be moved around. However, you know, it's on there. If something can be added, we know this. This is just a guideline for the state on our 1 and 6. So basically what you're saying is our 1 and 6 here, nothing in particular in general that you are opposing. It's just that you think that the 1 and 6 is a joke in your mind. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. What you're trying to say?
It's a joke, because this is county business, and our roads in Dakota County is not a joke.
I wouldn't think so, but you're sitting there saying that we are careless and we don't. I mean, I just heard you just say that we're careless and we don't spend the money properly on whatever.
According to the information, and that's what I'm going by. I have a problem with it. Yes.
Okay.
And I do have a problem with this on the 1 to 6 year plan. I do have a problem with this number 10, pave South Bluff Road north of Homer and city limits when that goes past Bill Rohde's shop.
Well, the long term goal has been for the road department is some of these major hubs, okay, meaning major arteries outside of the cities. You know, we started doing some Fiddler Creek. And that's the reason why we had, you know, north on 35, you know, coming south, is eventually someday of trying to connect those two together. So if we could get, you know, 30 off of 35 heading south on Bluff and then coming the other way and eventually meeting in the middle, because they're heavily trafficked roads, and it's no different than having 35 go to 20, you know, across, you know, it'd be the same scenario. It's just trying to get some of these major arteries where there's a lot of traffic, you know, paved is, and this has been talked about for a long time.
Okay, Scott, and you know what, I understand that, and I know the roads in Dakota County are important for travel, first of all for the safety issues, but when there's, to me, when there's been things done that don't look kosher or in good standard, I mean, I can't just not say something.
Okay.
And that's where I'm at. Now, I have a second one. I can either read it or give it to the board.
Why don't you, so we can move on,
yes,
if you don't mind.
And you know what? I respect the position of the Board of Commissioners. But there's some issues here that have not been appropriate. And in my opinion, they've been violated. So you go ahead. So what do you want me to do?
Well,
you want to move on?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, let's move on. And if you is it long for you to read this, or do you want to give us a copy, or what's your thought process?
I can do either one. You know what? I'll respect your judgment.
Why don't you give us a copy, Lou?
I can give you a copy.
Is that okay?
If I can.
Hey, and listen. You know the beautiful thing is in the next 10 months, you're going to have two newcomers on this board. So that means that maybe there'll be some change for you. You know, maybe I'm just saying, maybe there'll be some change for you.
It's so, not change for me.
It's change for the taxpayers, change for the county. How's that sound?
Yeah, it's okay. For everybody. These haven't been violated just against me.
I don't know what you mean by violated.
I know you don't, but
I don't
it's
understand.
In here.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Anybody else with opposition?
My name is Larry Elanisha, 1050 Joseph's Way. And I still haven't, and I know there's 1 and 6 been going on to pay South Bluff and him, you know. And I don't know why it's not that necessary to be paid. You know, and I'll tell you why. And I don't know about road counts. I mean, I can ask that traffic count. You know, it used to be in the old days, they'd go out and do a traffic count. And then they'd improve the road according to the traffic count. All right? To give you a good example now of what I'm talking about, twice now I've driven all of in the same period of time, same day, hours, same 2 hours, all of South Bluff, all of Fiddler Creek, all of Wiggle Creek, and 260th Emerson, and back on Fiddler, and M Avenue. Okay. Do we want to guess how many vehicles I encountered?
Okay, so you just go ahead and tell me. I know that Fiddler Creek is one of the, was one of the most, at one time, was the, one of the most busiest county roads.
Yeah, and yeah, I drove by there this morning, and I think I met one vehicle.
On what
road? And the motorator on Fiddler. I met one bus over by Emerson. One car coming up off of, well, from the gas plant up to South Bluff. One over on M and one on Wiggle. Three cars and one bus. That's why I don't believe the county, the taxpayer should pay. You know, well, South Bluff will cost in the end about $9 million to do.
$9
million? Yeah, $9 million bucks. It's 7 point some miles. And you figure it'll be $1 million a mile, plus the necessary grading, because that's not graded properly for a paved road. Okay, and then you got Fiddler Creek, which is 4.5 miles, and with proper grading and proper culverts and slope shoulders, I mean, it's going to exceed easily $5 million. So, I mean, we're talking about an awful lot of money. And judging by what we have in the bank, it ain't going to fly. And it don't look like it's going to fly until the taxes go up to $200 an acre.
Probably not.
And home taxes go up 50%.
Again, this is, you know, and we know what all the 1 in 6 is. I mean, it can be shoveled. It can be, you know, there's things that's been on the 1 in 6 for, I'm assuming, decades, right?
Some of us have been on quite a while. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So, okay.
I guess the most important thing I can see is save what you got, maybe asphalt that piece down there to Homer, save that from deterioration. And a few of these culverts are unsafe and something like that. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Anybody else with the opposition? Did I forget the support? Did I already say support? Okay, I did say support. Okay, my bad. I didn't know what he said anything about support. But anyways, any more opposition? Anyone? Okay, neutral comments. No neutral comments. Okay, we're going to close the public hearing. And we are going to go... What time is it? 3:22. We are going to go to move on to B. Fred Kellogg, the Highway Superintendent, requesting the Board to pass and approve Resolution 18C-002, adopting the 1 and 6 year plan. So, I will make a motion to approve Resolution 18C-002, adopting the 1 and 6 that has been put together.
Awesome.
Okay, a second by Kevin, a motion by myself on 18C-002. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Marty?
Yeah.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move on to C. Open an award bid for Dakota County Bridge and Inspections according to the Nebraska Department of Transportation Bridge Inspection the Criteria. So, Fred, what do we have? 1 or 2 or 3 or 10?
You know, we asked for, sent out for bids to inspect our bridges, which is required by the state of Nebraska. Out of the 3 that we sent out, only 1 came back, and it's from JEO and Brian McDonald of JEO.
Brian?
And it is at $190 inspection for $190 per bridge.
So it's $190 per bridge?
Correct.
In your professional opinion, is that a decent price?
That is probably the going rate by any engineering firm. As you know, we used to have our bridge inspections done by an employee of the road department who was qualified by the state. Was a little bit cheaper. He no longer wants to do it. We didn't have any individuals come up. The only one we got, like I said, is from JEO, an engineering firm. And that's going to be a little bit higher. But as far as qualified, doing a good job.
He would do a good job.
Yes. He does it for other counties also.
2 years to do it, correct?
Pardon?
He has 2 years.
Correct.
To cover all 40 some bridges.
Yes.
So it could.
Was it? I don't even want to ask how many.
What was the total?
The total for all the bridges was $7,600.
Yeah.
$7,600.
Over 2 years.
And I'm assuming he'll do them by age. I'm assuming is that the way he'll do it?
Correct.
Okay, so with Brian JEO, I guess, $190 a bridge, $7,600 over a two-year period. I think we have a lot of options, so, and we did have this in the paper. So what's the board's pleasure?
In addition to being in the paper, we did contact other people to see if they were interested. Haven't taken steps and not having another interest. If you feel like that's not out of line, I don't know. You know, I think that that's probably the way to go.
Motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept the bid that we have from JEO.
Okay, we got a motion by Marty and a second by Tony on the bridge inspections with JEO for $190 a bridge over a two-year period. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Here's the fun stuff. Amy Kleinberg and Ronald Rapp. Three Rivers Benefit, Inc. to present the board County Health Care Plan results for the past year and request approval for the stop loss contract renewal. Amy, hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks. Does anybody have a booklet?
No. Do we want a booklet?
That was good.
It's
news.
Not my favorite. I mean, they're not fun to present when they look like this one.
All right, well, talk slow because we're going to have to keep up with you. Not that you talk fast normally.
All right, let's just start going through it. If the first couple pages are going to explain the last page, okay? So we look at, basically, this is just a prettier version of the aggregate report that the county gets every month, breaking down your enrollment by single and families, breaks down the fixed costs. Those are those fees for administration, PPO, pre-cert, all of that type of stuff. Claims is the next line down. It gives us a total cost, shows a monthly aggregate. So if we go down to that middle portion, total fixed cost, $183,359. Total paid claims, $801,638.43. $153,000 of that has been reimbursed or will be reimbursed by the stop loss carrier. Those people have gone over that specific deductible, over the aggregating specific. So those dollars come back. Okay, well, they weren't paid out to begin with. The carrier funds them directly. Ineligible claims include your dental claims and your $30,000 aggregating specific. That's what that number. And then we get a total cost of $910,000. Breaks it down to an average of an employee cost, $736.32, $1752.44 per family. That's the average cost. Right now, through 11 months of claims, you guys are sitting at 97% of your aggregate attachment point. So there's the two parts of coverage, the specific deductible, which deals with individuals. The aggregate is the group of as a whole. If you go over that, there'll be some reimbursement of claims from the carrier as well. But you're at 97% of that through 11 months. last year at this exact time when we presented the renewal, you were at 79%. Okay.
Been a rough year.
All right, the next page is just the same information, just a different report, so I don't think we even need to take a look at that. If we flip to the next page, it should say claims by type, I hope. So the biggest piece of the pie is medical. That's normal. 645. You have $108,000 in prescription claims. That number is actually down by about 2,000 from this time last year. And you have almost $48,000 worth of dental claims. Okay. If we look at claims by relationship, this is the way that we want our pie to look. Not the numbers. The numbers are not fabulous. But the colors. A plan always wants the bulk of its claims to be paid out on the employee. Okay. Spouses and dependents did not have that big of a piece of the pie. Dependents a little bit bigger than last year. Spouses is certainly manageable. I would not recommend any plan design changes based on this pie. It's mostly employees, that type of thing. If we flip to the next page, basically it's just showing you in 10-year age groups where your claims are coming in. A lot of your claims this year were incurred and paid out on people under the age of 50. Right.
Is that abnormal?
Yes, it's normally. It's the next couple levels up.
Right.
The one thing that I will point out, if you guys are looking at this later, what doesn't make sense, is the 0 to 9. That number's always going to be big because we put in an employee to pay the prescription plan all under one person, and they're always 0 to 9. So 108,000 of that 118 is prescriptions. Okay. If we flip two pages back to the claims analysis overview, the only thing that I pulled off of this in relationship to last year, if you look at provider reductions, it's at 22.19, and last year it was at like 26%. So the discounts seem not to be as good. I think that that's based on the providers, some of the providers that were used this year, which were necessary. Do not get as good a discount through Midland's Choices like our hospitals, surgery centers, local. Okay? But sometimes, even though the discount isn't as good, the overall cost of the service is better when you go to a place like Mayo or Children's Hospital or places like that. Not as good of a discount, but the care and thus the cost overall is usually less. Okay? Cost distribution. Looks pretty similar to last year. You basically have 14 members that incurred 80% of your costs on the plan this year. Rank order, although they do change spots, usually the top ones are very close to the same. The Surgery Center, Mercy St. Luke's, Welldyne is the PBM, that's where all your prescriptions run through. Those are always at the top. Nothing unusual there. Okay. Diagnosis and prognosis analysis are just giving you the top diagnosis codes and top procedures that were done. Lots of prescriptions, lots of surgeries this year. And so these two reports are in line with how the plan worked this year. Okay. So if we flip past those, unless you guys have specific questions about any of this stuff, we can just keep going. Back to the preventive screening summary. We are concentrating on the information on the right-hand side, the date range 2, 3-1 of 17 through 131 of 18. You did have some members take advantage of the preventive screening this year. These numbers are a little bit better than last year, so that's good. I think the plan change with the colonoscopies helped those numbers. January 1, the plan changes that made it non-grandfathered, so all these preventive services are covered without cost sharing, should make those numbers go up, which we want them to. Those are usually lower cost items that can prevent a large cost down the road. So that's moving in the right direction. It's just not moving as much as we would like it to, but next year is going to be the real sign of whether those, you know, those numbers start to look better because of the changes that we made to the plan. Okay. The preventable conditions, nothing really stands out on this form. Basically, there's not, your claims did not come from something that could have been taken care of and wasn't, or could have been addressed on a preventive side and wasn't necessarily. So it's good information to have, but it doesn't really explain the claims from this year. So the last page, the normative comparison summary, just sort of summarizes all the stuff from the other pages. It shows you dollar amounts spent at inpatient, outpatient, prescriptions, and all that. It's just kind of it's a summary of all of those other reports put together. Okay. If we flip past the pink sheet of paper, this is the information. Is there any questions on the medical stuff so far? So the dental, although not to the same extent, also is up in claims amounts this year. Last year it was 41. This year it's almost 48. It's a limited benefit, so at the $1,000 max, we stop paying. You know, we want people to seek dental care, so there's really not much that can be done about the dental side if they, you know. But the costs are up a little tiny bit from last year.
So and more people went to the dentist.
Yeah, or had more expensive stuff done.
Right.
I mean, nobody's going to go in for a root canal if they don't need one. So sometimes that just happens to be. Any year. We like it not to be the same year that your medical claims go through the roof, but okay. And then the next two pages are just a monthly comparison of costs again, very similar to the information on this first page. So if we flip now back past the pink sheets.
Is this monthly cost on resist dental?
Yes, ma'am.
Still dental.
Mm-hmm.
This is the nuts and bolts right
this
here.
This is it. Yep.
And it's not very attractive.
It is not attractive. No, I mean, I'd like to say something fantastic that makes it seem better, but it's not fantastic. But if you look at the increase, in your claims went up by almost 56% over last year. Claims were 56% higher. Your renewal on a whole is about a 20% increase. So last year you had nobody in the specific deductible and you only paid about 13,000 of the 30 aggregating specific. This year you have five people in the specific. The carrier's into it for 153,000 plus you paid the whole $30,000 aggregating specific. So. And if we look at the two renewals together, it averages out to be about a 10% increase for the 2 years, mm-hmm. which is not terrible. So, let's just go through the numbers. That's the best I can make it.
Do they look back when they base this cost? Do they look back more than 1 year? Do they look?
They concentrate on the current year.
They do.
But they will. I mean, they will look back at the group as a whole, but really what they're looking at is the types of claim. Has the population changed, shifted? Are any of the people that incurred the claims, A, are they not here anymore? Did they leave and go to another employer group? Is it ongoing? And also, you know, trying to recoup some of their, you know,
yeah, they're not in the business to lose money, but and I can see them looking at the current year and to looking back. I would say that they're pretty probably tunnel visioned, but if you look at the years, the ages, you know, I would think that you know, is a 20% overall increase with it being up 56%, is that okay? Is it good? It's probably not terrible. But,
it's not terrible. But, and I think they started out higher than 20. This was after the gal that works on our renewals just did everything, including beg, to try to get them to give any type of relief that they can. Anytime that you've had a really good year and all that, she will do whatever she has to try to get those numbers, you know, to come down a little bit. The other thing that helps is if we can get some really good quotes from other carriers, but they were equally as impressed with your claims this year as your incumbent. So,
just a question, maybe, how many people do you look at? How many different carriers do you look at?
We probably look at 10 for you guys.
10 overall?
Yeah. You're always going to have a group of them that just will not quote whatsoever either. They know they're not competitive for our area. They can't be competitive for your group.
Right.
Some of them will quote it, but just give you a number that there's no way anybody's going to go with.
It just doesn't fit
usually,
there.
Yeah, a couple that there, right, could be competitive.
So out of 10, how many competitors do you find?
They're on the sheet. The only ones that we felt were competitive, and that could be debated, probably. Okay. The one thing that I will tell you, when you're looking at anything past that second column, is these new carriers. Currently, you're with U.S. Benefits, so the first three columns are the renewal and then an alternate plan, you know, upping that specific deductible by $10,000. Okay, once we get into underwriting management experts, Spectrum, employer benefits, those rates have not been, there's not been a medical review completed on your high dollar claimants. So it's possible those numbers could stick. Most likely they are going to go up once we do the medical review, if you wanted to look at one of those alternate carriers.
Why would the single aggregate factor go up if we increase our specific deductible?
The ag factors always go up when you increase your specific deductible because more dollars are applying towards the aggregate. Everything that you pay is covered under that aggregate umbrella. So when you have to pay more, the factors are going to go up. So, here's some things that you can take away from it. If you look at just the fixed costs, which are middle of that sheet, maybe down towards the bottom quarter, total monthly fixed costs for a single, those increases are not 20%. Your 20% increase, if we're looking at those blue numbers at the bottom, that's your fixed cost and your claims. It is highly unlikely that you are going to have a year next year like you did this year. Usually we have one great year. That was last year. We have one horrible year. That's clearly this year. There's 3 years that are somewhere in the middle of those two. So, even though I know you budget based on these numbers, the fixed costs are the ones that you know you're going to pay. Okay, those numbers they're fixed. We're going to pay them no matter what. It's the claims where you might not get anywhere, you might not get close to those. Typically, they set those attachment points so that they are not reachable. Although you're trying, we're at 97% with the month to go for this year. So the fixed cost increase works out to about 10% for a single and 5% for a family. The other thing that I looked at when I was trying to figure out, you know, what caused all the claims was it people going in to have something done in anticipation of having a higher cost sharing? Doesn't appear that is at all what happened. These are things that could not be avoided. So, questions?
What other options do we have? And when I say this, I know when you first originally walked in, you know, I seen what these dollar amounts were. And, of course, I immediately started whining and crying to you saying we can't afford this.
Right.
You know, what, you know, do we need to make this decision today for number one? What other options do we have? You know, We talked about the laser.
Right.
Right?
I can go back and see if they would laser any one or more individuals and see if that'll drop your rates. Your other option is to increase your aggregating specific. Right now it's 30,000. Okay? If we increase that to 40,000, whatever, usually that's a dollar for dollar trade. Last year you didn't pay the whole amount, so whatever you don't pay, you keep. If you do pay it, you're still going to end up about where you're at right now. It's just, you're not going to be worse off by increasing it. It can be a cash flow issue. If one person has a $300,000 claim, you've got to come up with their specific deductible plus the aggregating specific all at one time.
Right.
That would be the one drawback to that. But we can look at some higher aggregating specific deductibles and see what that will do to your rates. But usually it's about a dollar for dollar trade. So if we up it by 10,000, that bottom row of blue numbers should go down by 10,000.
Okay, so give us exactly the dollar amount, if you have or maybe you don't have in front of you, what we've been paying and what this new one would be paying for the singles and the families, the difference.
The existing plan is column one.
Right. So the 458.87. Okay, right?
Yep.
And then the next one is the 563.18.
Yes, that's the renewal.
That's the renewal?
Yeah.
Okay, and then you go from 1204 on the family aggregate to 1556.
Right.
So 350, just an estimate on a family extra, and roughly 105 on a single.
Right. That's your claims. I mean, that's what they are putting to fund the claims. That's the number that you base it off of.
What are the laws?
That's what we should set aside.
I think that's what most people do.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And God forbid I bring up this, even say anything, but if you went, I know the family policies right now are paying $700 a month, $350 a pay period every 2 weeks. And if you would go after the singles and have them try to pay something, is there laws that you can say this is what you get? I mean, is it half? Is it? Is there any laws?
They can pay the whole amount if you want to.
I didn't know if there was any laws.
Has to be the same for everybody.
Right.
Can't be based on a health condition or anything like that.
Right,
but
right.
If you pass a flat dollar amount of a premium that needs to be paid.
You know, here we thought that we were cutting a fat hog and thinking that we were, you know, going from the lowest deductible in the country of the 3,069 counties in the country of the great United States of America of 250 to 400, thinking that it was that we was doing a horrible thing and going to save a bunch of money, and it looks like it's kind of.
Well, that didn't go into effect until January 1st, though.
Right.
And this plan, I mean, this renewal is from March, so you've got, 7 months, 8 months of claims that were still under the old plan. And it's just claims starting January 1st that are subject to those higher deductibles and out-of-pockets.
And I don't want it to spread like wildfire that I want to start charging the single people, because I know that they've already had a problem with the 400 from the 250 to the 400, and of course some other issues. But I'm just asking a question is what I'm doing, of what, you know, you can and cannot do.
Sure.
If we would charge each individual part of the premium cost, would that change our plan, whether they could opt in or opt out, or
they would be able to opt out the same as now? I mean, there's no difference.
Okay, no difference. Okay.
But the only way they can opt out, they got to show they have insurance elsewhere.
That's what I would do, most definitely. I mean, it's not the only way, but it is. It really should be the only way.
Mm-hmm. And they can't go to the pool, can they?
they have to have it?
They can, yeah, I mean, right. They can't go to the pool, but here they're not going to get a subsidy at the pool. And the pool insurance really is not affordable without a subsidy because they have the right type of coverage offered here. Okay. So, I mean, they can go out to the marketplace, but they're not going to get a good deal on it, and nobody's going to qualify for a subsidized premium on the at the market in the marketplace. Because you guys offer affordable care that has a minimum essential coverage, so...
So where do we go from here?
Well, I think you mentioned the right thing to do. I mean, let's wait until next meeting and see if there's any time we can talk about it and see what we can do.
Would you recommend that, Amy? I don't mean to interrupt you, but would you recommend that? Or what? I mean, you look and breathe this stuff every day. What's your recommendation? Do you think that the 20% of being up 56%, you think that's doable, manageable, $105, $350 more? I mean, and obviously...
I mean, I think it's reasonable. I don't know how manageable it is because I don't have access to that side of all of that stuff. It's a reasonable increase based on your claims for this year. Here's the one thing about waiting is if you have a train wreck that is waiting to happen between now and the day you sign that disclosure form, they will go back and re-underwrite these numbers and they could get worse. So, I mean, you know, if somebody has something horrible between now and the time you sign those papers, they will re-look at your numbers and they will go up, I guarantee it.
Life's a gamble, isn't it?
So, I mean, the one thing we know is that if you do choose to up your aggregating specific, we know that's a dollar-for-dollar trade, so you can factor that in when you make your decision, if you decide to do that. But anything else, I don't even know if they would offer a laser because a lot of these things are not ongoing where it's not one person that caused your rates to go up.
Several.
It's the whole group.
Yeah.
And so a laser
so that's not
really
probably not even
that.
An option. That probably wouldn't even be.
Usually they will offer, I mean, usually they'll give us both. They'll give us the laser. Some groups hate those and they want to see the stuff spread out amongst the whole group. I don't think it was offered to begin with, so if we asked for it, they might would do it, but I don't think that's probably going to be offered.
So if we up that aggregating specific from 30 to 40,
mm-hmm.
looking at last year, would that have just affected the 14 people, correct? And that's a high.
Yeah, I mean, it's only the people that go over the spec.
Right. It's only the people. So this year, we would have had a $10,000 increase. It
Correct.
Would have cost us...
The same $10,000 that you saved. Either way, it's not going to cost you more. But you have a potential of saving some or all of it if you don't have people go over their spec by that $30,000 or $40,000. But it takes the group as a whole. So everybody has that individual spec of $35,000. Then the other 30 right now is all of the people over the 30 add into that $30,000 bucket until it's met. This year you had 5 people adding into it. Last year nobody hit their spec. You only paid out 12. Or yeah, the only way you can pay it out is if they hit it. You didn't have anybody go over their specific and the 30. You only paid out $12,000 of it. So if you look at the same thing, dollar for dollar, you saved $18,000 last year. Had you not had the aggregating specific, you would have paid that out in claims. You would have paid it out in premium, excuse me. So this year you would have spent the 40. I mean, if you had 40 this year, you would have spent that too. But 5-year, you know, 5-year deals we've had are really good and are really bad. So hopefully the next 3 are going to be somewhere between the two, closer to the really good. And your plan design changes should show up in next year's renewal. I mean, they really should because they've only had them for a month. We're just starting to get claims in for people that are under the new deductibles in our pockets.
Okay, any other questions for Amy or concerns or whatever you... Anything? Anyone?
Okay.
Thanks for the depression. Appreciate that. Rep, do you have anything to say?
They're still pretty good rates. I paid more than that. And I work for an insurance company.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, you, compared to, it's a large increase. But compared to the marketplace or the open market or a small group or a fully insured plan, those are still pretty good rates.
For your $400 deductible,
which you can't buy anymore. On the open market, you couldn't buy a $400 deductible anymore.
Right. Yeah, so, it's unheard of, I know.
So it's not easy. It's not easy pill to swallow, but it's, you know, compared to if your staff went out in the open market and had to go look for it themselves, compared to that, they would be blown away.
Okay.
With the run that everything's on, I don't know that, you know, you wait, you take that gamble, something does happen. I don't think that's a gamble. In my opinion, that's not a gamble worth taking.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think our proticon of it going down is supposed
suck
to
be a
possibility.
Suck it up and figure it out, right?
Suck it up and let it go.
You know.
Okay, so with that said, I guess after Amy's went over the whole plan with us, what's the board? She's just requesting approval for the renewal, stop loss contract renewal. So I think you pretty much defined it. Suck it up and deal with it. And hopefully we have a better year. Because I guarantee the rates aren't going to go down. Once they get you there.
They usually go down.
Don't usually. Have you ever seen it go down?
Last year.
Have you?
Last year it went down.
Oh, did it? Nice.
Yep.
Outstanding.
Yep.
Okay. So.
I'm hoping for a good year.
Yep. I guess I will make a motion to approve Three Rivers with their group resources, stop loss, renewal, rip-off insurance company. So that's my motion. I'll approve.
But with?
With what?
U.S. benefits? I mean, do we have to
define?
Yeah, I would think we have to.
You guys can email that anytime. I'll get you the...
Column.
If you want to stay with U.S. benefits...
With column two?
Okay.
Of
are we keeping
renewal
the same,
of U.S. benefits?
Are we keeping the same answer?
Or
yes.
There is a...
The 30,000.
I think we need to.
There is a lower one here. The spectrum. We don't have to say. We don't have to say who we're renewing with, because there is spectrum is lower.
Right, but again, those have not gone through medical review yet.
Yeah, those are the ones that your numbers are up in.
Proposals only.
Numbers will go up once.
These ones here are cut and dry. These are finalized. Once we sign today, it's a done deal.
Right. 1, 2, 3. Those numbers.
1, 2, 3.
Unless something happens between now and the time you sign the disclosure.
So we'll just go with my motion, I guess, with the U.S. benefits in column two, correct? That's with the renewal of the 568 or 563.18, and then with the 1566.83. Is that correct? Okay. That's my motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
I got a second by Kevin. We will. Motion by myself, second by Kevin. Call roll, please, Joan, on the renewal for the stop loss contract.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes. Thank you, folks, for coming in and all your hard work. And, you know, we'll just keep our fingers crossed for next year.
Okay. Maybe on both
hands. Toes and all.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Miscellaneous, we're going to go to Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent, Road Report.
January 28th through February 10th, 22.5 hours of road maintenance, 47 hours of overtime, 4 hours of garbage pickup, snow removal, 478. No rock. Signs and barricade, 10 hours. Well, we did have a few calls, road concerns about snow, people drift, icy, whatever. Didn't really come into order or anything serious, but just your typical snow. When it snows, we got a few people that are concerned about roads open or white.
A little snow, you get about 2 inches of snow, a little wind, and who knows what can happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, we need some good weather here for a while, I think. At least no snow.
Yes.
You know. Well, it was bound to happen, you know. Okay, any questions for Fred on the news road report from the 28th to the 10th?
No, sir. Good job, Fred. Thank you.
Thanks, Fred.
Thanks, Freddie.
Jail report. Kevin, you want to give the lay down?
Yes.
Please.
For February, or January, excuse me, averaged 89 inmates, 9 federal, 0.32 juveniles, and 80 of the county inmates. For 2018 average, it's going to be the exact same. We're only 1 month into it. The 2017 to 2018 fiscal for county inmates, 89, federal, 10, juveniles, 0.7, so roughly 99 in-house. Our federal incomes for the January marshal was $14,192.44, ICE, $5,685, BIA, $325, so a total of $20,000 we've got coming in from the different federal branches. For, looks like that's going to be the 2017 number over there. We've got $151,863.11 coming in from the federals. With the majority of that from the marshals, roughly $50,000 from ICE, and BIA was $700. The cost per inmate per day, January of $74.83. If I remember right, that number was higher than what we had been averaging. We averaged right around that 65 range. So there was some medical issues that happened last month. The jail spent $207,000 for January. It's running at 57% of the estimated yearly budget, or 1% under their budget. And January, they spent $16,000, which was 8% over their budgeted amount. January bookings, 54 from the sheriff, 45 from South Sioux, 6 from Nebraska State Patrol, 4 from the court, 20 feds, 7 others, for a total of 136.
Okay.
And that's that.
And that's that. Okay. Any questions on that, guys? Thank you, Kevin.
It looks like our... looks like the ICE is running just about on track. Looks like the marshals are possibly up, but we'll see. BIA was up. But that's that.
Okay. Thank you. All right, we're going to move on to C, planning and zoning membership appointments. One appointment to each of the following areas, which is one from the Village of Emerson, two Rural Hubbard, and three Rural Jackson, for a 3-year term, February 2018 to February of 2021. I think we all have a list. Any questions on anything here?
So there's three guys out for us. How many do we have? Many applicants.
Dick McCabe's position in the Village of Emerson was up. He reapplied. No one else did. Marlon Millard
resigned.
Yeah. Technically, he is there until someone replaces him.
Is that what
according,
you said?
No, according to your bylaws.
Oh, I see.
And that's for Rural Hubbard. And Warren Hazing, Rural Jackson, reapplied, and he was the only applicant. So if you would reappoint Dick McCabe to the Village of Emerson and Warren Hazing to the Rural Jackson, and we'd have to
advertise.
We've advertised for 2 weeks, so you just have to find somebody to appoint.
Okay.
For, to replace Marlon Mullen?
Yeah.
And that's for Rural Hubbard, right?
Okay, well, let's see here then. We'll just, the two appointments that, appointments as Richard McCabe for Emerson, and then we got Warren Hazing for Jackson, and then we'll have to find someone to replace Marlon Millard. Okay. So,
as soon as we find one to replace Marlon Millard, is that one, I mean,
have to come before the board to be appointed.
So we'll have to start beating the streets, Tony, and trying to find somebody for Hubbard area. Joan, you should be able to find somebody out there, shouldn't you?
That's quite a few.
Really? Nobody's interested, huh?
You're not, Joan.
Well, the job's pretty good.
Joan, you want to, you have nothing much going on anymore in your life. Things kind of slowing down a little bit for you.
I'm not Rural Hubbard.
Okay, so anyways, do I need to make a motion on that? Okay, so I made a motion for those two different areas, Richard and Warren for Emerson and Jackson.
The second.
Okay, got a second by Tony for the two appointments for planning and zoning. We call roll, please, Joan.
Kevin?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
So, Rural Hubbard, beat the streets. Okay, D, we're going to appointment of weed superintendent. Matt Roost was our only applicant. We advertised within the county of all the employees, and proud to say that Matt is accepted, and we interviewed, looked at him. He's had a lot of experience over the years with different people that he's worked for and worked with. Crop Productions for a long time. So, anyways, Matt's going to take over the position as a part-time weed controller superintendent, and he is going to be answering to the road department. Correct? Is that kind of way we're looking at things, right? So, yeah. So, welcome.
Welcome aboard.
Hopefully, everything goes
welcome
well.
Back.
I know that Joan.
Welcome
I think,
back aboard.
I think that Jolene and Joan and everybody's just going to kind of help you come together with everything, with your budget and your claims. And you're going to keep the office downstairs?
Yeah.
No naps. All right?
No.
None.
No.
None.
No.
Yes. So, but no, Bill and I and Fred, we, is that, did we all go over everything? I think we had a little meeting, didn't we? Joan? I think we all, I can't remember.
But anyway.
That's right. We had dinner. We had lunch that day. Yeah. So, but anyways, yeah, so any questions on your behalf or any questions for the board members of anything?
Did you meet with Mr. Bullschultz yet, or does that come?
The
20th.
Yeah, I talked to him last week.
So you have a little bit of education to get done yet for doing some of the right-of-ways and this and that and bridges?
Well, he's here to meet with me. He said he can test me here.
Oh, he can.
Oh, good.
You know, we really didn't talk about the weedettes when they go out there. Is your wife going to be okay to be a weedette? No?
She does not want to be a weedette.
Okay, that's fair. I don't think she needs to be, but if you're here 20 years from now, she probably will become a weedette.
Okay. I suppose she probably ought to.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you for stepping up and taking the job, and if you have any questions or concerns for any of us, just let us know, all right? Okay, Commissioner Committee reports.
I had a meeting down in Oakland with the Los Hills RC&D a couple weeks back. Main thing that they do is they organize the recycling for the tires, the tire pickups, the herbicide jugs from the farmers, the electronics. ways. Some of that money, like everything, has been cut back, so they're limiting their number of pickups. There's not going to be, the closest one that we're going to have is going to be Waltville this calendar year. The herbicide things will still get out in Cook County, but those dates will be coming forward. They'll let us know what's going on. Last year we had an e-waste one right here in Dakota City, which was nice, but they won't be back this year, but they will be in the future.
Okay. Good enough. Any other committee reports? I got to throw this out there. I know there's something I had to say, but I can't remember what it is.
Alzheimer's.
It happens, don't I? You wait till you get my age. Okay, Mel, emergency business.
I received a letter from, I forgot it. It had to do with the Outlaw Trail. It's here in Nebraska. Kind of like a horse walking trail. Does it start in Dixon County? I know it runs all through Polk County, out further west. Just kind of a letter. I think it was sent to me on accident. It's supposed to be sent to the actual board here. But it was a request for donations. I think it was $100 request from the county.
I think it was just to you, Kevin.
Yeah, just to me.
Send it to you, Kevin.
Yeah.
First word drop on the board.
I spoke to a representative in this area, Marcy Broyer, and she said that it would go to, there's a sign out by the Ponk area talking about the Outlaw Trail and to repurchase signs that have come up missing on the Outlaw Trail. So that's what I have for mail. It was basically a request for a $100 donation.
So you got $100.
Or
six bills of hay.
It's the $100 scouts can pony up.
Pony up. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Public comment. Is there any public comment?
Ron Harnett.
Hi.
I was just wondering regarding the training for the officers and stuff, the payment. Are we, like, there's a clerk? I want to get a clarification. I mean, is there, like, they're going to be gone for like a month? Is we going to pay them simultaneously, or is that all covered?
Kevin, I think I wish Eric was here.
I can't touch that one.
I can't either.
Which training?
You're talking about the
AIs?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be a great question for the sheriff.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a 287G.
Yeah, the 287G.
Precisely. Yeah, I always have the number in my head. I want to say 287G. I always want to say
287G.
Yeah.
Right.
Got that on my
Tony, you know that number?
Yes.
But yeah, no, I wish I could answer that, but I can't. And I
got emails probably every day.
So what's your question?
The question is, who's paying them for the 30 days of training?
Right. Yeah. Right. Because I heard, like, the clarification, I guess, is like on the, like in the paper, there's like there'd be some overtime perhaps that we would cover, but then in the Channel 9 had everything would be covered. So I just want to know if we have like a fixed cost. You know, okay, the 30 days. What is the fixed cost? What is the exact dollar amount? You know, for that training. You know, when they're gone, et cetera. So
yep.
Just,
okay.
You know, just a number.
Okay, we'll get
specific numbers.
Okay, and I think I know the sheriff's gone on holiday, but once he gets back, I'm sure Kevin will ask him. Will you?
Sure.
And then next meeting, if you're here, or if you want to, once we get the answer, maybe we can contact you and let you know.
Great. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Ron.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Any other public comment? We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. The County Board of Commissioners will meet on February 19th at 2018 at 5:30 for the 41st Annual Joint City-County School Meeting at Dakota City Fire Station at 208 South 21st Street in Dakota City, Nebraska. And then our next regular meeting will be of the Board of Commissioners will be held on February 26, 2018. So, I will see everyone next Monday at the 5:30 social hour.